And the list, and this often happens, and the list there of announcements that are right in front of my face, I omit one, and I wanted to make sure that you know that Marlene French has had knee replacement surgery. She's at the Elms right now for physical therapy, but she has laryngitis at the moment. So it's not a good time to call, and probably best to wait to visit for a day or two, a couple days. Yeah. So I wanted to make sure to give you that. I'm reading from the book of Revelation, and I'm reading a couple of sections of it. We're doing more broad themes in these last couple of weeks in finishing up this book. It's kind of a compromise, and I'm starting to read at Revelation 18, verses 21 to 24. Listen to God's word. Now, I heard you laughing, Martha. God's word. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "With such violence, Babylon, the great city, will be thrown down and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists and minstrels and flutists and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. And an artisan of any trade will be found in you no more. And the sound of the millstone will be heard in you no more, and the light of a lamp will shine in you no more, and the voice of bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were magnates of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery, and in you was found the blood of prophets and saints, and all those who have been martyred," I changed the word, "on earth." And then near the very end of the book, chapter 21, the first couple of verses says this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying," and I'll read that rest of that passage another time. I went beyond the verse I wanted to stop. But I do want to read one verse from the book of Hebrews. You don't have to turn to it, just listen. It is from near the end of the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 14 says this: "For here we have no lasting city, but we are looking for the city that is to come." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You know, those of us who live around this area, it's really kind of a wonderful geographic area. I mean, who knew growing up in Pennsylvania that New Jersey could be so beautiful? But here we are, we're an hour from the Jersey Shore. We're about an hour from New York, although some might argue that differently. And we're about an hour from Philadelphia. What could be better almost than that kind of thing? We are near two centers of culture. And I don't mean the Jersey Shore. I meant the other cities, Philadelphia and New York. We are right there in with close access to amazing history and the founding of our country, and amazing arts, both cities, and business, and all of that. Cities are centers of human culture. Now, here's a trick question, because it's a trick. Think about it. What is the first city ever mentioned in the Bible? Now, some of you thought you knew what you were going to say, didn't you? You thought you were going to say Babel is the city, because that was what was read as the scripture this morning. But no, it is not. The earliest, you know who built the earliest, very first city mentioned in the Bible? Who? No, it's even before this. Cain built the first city, the one who murdered the son of Adam and Eve, who murdered Abel. For in Genesis 11, Nope, that's wrong. Genesis, that we already did that one. Genesis, four. That's it. Genesis 4:17 says this, very early, chapter 4. God had just spoken to Cain after he killed Abel. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he, meaning Cain, built a city and named it Enoch, after his son Enoch. So the first city is named after the son of the first murderer who murdered his brother Abel. Well, and in the chapter that was read, we get the story about the Tower of Babel and this city. And in this one, the people of the earth who were speaking the same language, and they had one language and the same words, said to themselves come let us make bricks and all that. Then it says this, verse 4, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. And so they built Babel, and they built the Tower of Babel. Now, many believe, and probably right, that this is the foundation of the ancient city of Babylon. In fact, Babylon contained one of the wonders of the ancient world, and you might remember this from history classes, the Hanging Gardens. And the Hanging Gardens might very well have been what was called, back in that time, a ziggurat, which is like a pyramid, but without a point at the top. Where the top of it is flat and worship and other rites could be conducted on top of the ziggurat. And it may very well be that the Tower of Babel was constructed like this ziggurat that we know were part of Babylonian life. But Babylon was a center of human culture. One named the first city in a way after himself, or with himself, named it after his son. Others built this city to make a name for themselves. Cities are symbols of not only human creativity and human culture, but they are symbols of human quest for power, for glory, for majesty, for making a name for oneself. We think of some of the ancient cities of the world, like Babylon. What other cities could we name that were centers of human culture? Even Jerusalem at the time of David and Solomon was a magnificent city. We could think of Cairo and Egypt and the pyramids. We could think of Athens and Greek culture. I'm sure there are more we could think of in terms of ancient cities, but certainly Rome. At the time the book of Revelation was written, Babylon was a city of the past. In fact, in the book of Revelation, and in the passage I read, and in these latter chapters of the book of Revelation, Babylon symbolizes Rome. And so when we read that Babylon, with such violence, the great city was thrown down, it's a prophecy about Rome. And when we read in the book of Revelation about how oppressive Babylon was to God's people, it's talking clearly about Rome. It's in that symbolism. For just as Babylon was the symbol in the beginning in biblical culture of human pride, of humans seeking a name for themselves, of in a way in your face God building the tower, so Rome was not only that center of culture, but it was that symbol of pagan empire oppressing the people of God. And in Revelation, which was written around the year 90 AD, Rome was the power in the world. And it was unthinkable to suggest that, like Babylon, Rome would fall. There is a movie that Kevin Kline stars in. It's been out a while. It's called The Emperor's Club. I don't know if any of you have seen it. And in The Emperor's Club, Kevin Kline is a teacher at a prep school, boys prep school. And he's a teacher of history. And every year he begins the first class with having someone in the class turn and read a plaque that is on the back wall of the classroom. And the plaque reads a name, I am so-and-so, and it describes, very common in what were called suzerainty treaties of the ancient world, described how this person saw himself and some of his accomplishments. Ruler of the world, you know, scourge of others, and blah, 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 and would go on. And the point he was making, Kevin Kline was making, is the name is a name we've never heard of. I don't even remember it. That's because it's unimportant, really, what the name was. And the point he's making there, and the point that the book of Revelation is making for us today, is empires come and go. They seem to be all of the world at one time, and then at another time, they're just ancient history. It happened in the year 410. What had been understood as unthinkable actually took place. Alaric and the Goths, Germanic tribe, who was a Christian, by the way, Alaric was a very pious Christian, conquered and sacked Rome. The walls fell. They were breached. They came in for 3 days, as was the custom in ancient warfare, to sack the city for 3 days. And as word of the fall of Rome went throughout the world, it shook the very foundations of people. It shook the foundations of Western culture. What can we count on now? If Rome, that symbol of empire and human production and creativity and human culture and riches and everything of commerce, it fell. And it's what we would call in history ushering in what are known as the Dark Ages. Because human culture, much of it had to go underground. Rome fell. 410. Empires come, empires go. Children were fantastic today, singing a song really that's quite appropriate for the season with Thanksgiving coming. During the Thanksgiving season, I often use a prayer written by Peter Marshall, who was one-time chaplain of the United States Senate. He was a Scotsman, Presbyterian minister. And it's a Thanksgiving Day prayer that he wrote. And it starts out, you know, pretty the way we would expect it. Father, we around this table thank thee for that great gift of life, warm clothes, friends, zest for living, blah, blah, blah. And it ends, oh, help us appreciate all that we have, to be content with it, to be grateful for it, to be proud of it, not in arrogant pride that boasts, but in a grateful pride that strives to be more worthy. But in the middle, it says this. We thank thee that still we live in a land bountifully able to supply all our needs, a land which still by thy providence knows peace, whose skies are not darkened by the machines of the enemy, whose fields and woodlands are still unblasted by the flames of war, a land with peaceful valleys and smiling meadows still serene, and I can no longer pray that prayer. We can no longer pray that prayer. For on September 11th, 2001, the unthinkable happened. You know the story. I don't have to repeat it all. You know what it is. Planes were hijacked. Twin Towers, the Pentagon, field in Pennsylvania, thousands of lives lost, and all of a sudden the world changed in that day because we realized we're vulnerable. We were founded as a city on a hill. In 1630, that phrase comes from the preaching of John Winthrop, the first governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, as he was on the ship, the Arbella, which was the flagship of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, coming in mass to set up around Boston and the area. And he preached a sermon called A Model of Christian Charity, in which he said, "We are a city upon a hill, and all the world will be gazing upon us because they came here to set up a theocracy where God, where government would be run in the name of and by God." We've had a sense of manifest destiny that somehow all of the land between the oceans was to be ours. It was manifest destiny. Abraham Lincoln called this country the last best hope of earth. We have been the beacon, the symbol of democracy in the world. Empires come and go. We've realized we are vulnerable. The fall of Rome was blamed on the Christians, just like Nero and the burning of Rome blamed the Christians. And what writers were saying is that Rome fell because of Christian influence, because they abandoned the worship of the ancient gods of Rome. That's what they said led to the fall of Rome, because they abandoned the worship of the gods, and they were atheists and had this one God. And by then, this was 100 some years after Constantine, the Roman Empire had become Christianized. Well, over a period of 12 to 14 years, a bishop in a key city at the time in Africa, the city of Hippo, by the name of Augustine, we know him as Saint Augustine, wrote one of the classics of Western literature. It was called The City of God. And it's in the City of God that we get the first Christian philosophy of history, because the ancient philosophy of history was cyclical. The history keeps repeating itself. Well, Augustine said, no, time and history are created by God. They have a beginning and they have an end point. History will come to an end. And he said that In the midst of history, as history is going on, there are two cities. The city of mankind, the city of God. The city of man is the city of Cain. It is the city of Babylon. It is the city of Rome, for it is built on worship of human achievement and accomplishment, of selfishness, of pride. And every city built like that, every monument to human culture is part of the city of man, the city of mankind. And even though Rome was thought to be eternal, it isn't. Because empires and cities of humans come and go. But at the same time, in that world that is progressing from a beginning to an ending, Augustine said, there is the city of God, the city of Abel, who sacrificed his best to God, who was murdered. It's the city where God is put first, not humanity. It is the city built not on pride, but on humility and servanthood. It is in the world in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, and it is in the world then and now, the church. The church is the city of God. And it's not the city of man in which the fulfillment of history will take place, but it's the church, the city of God. Lastly, some time ago, I don't remember what the occasion was, I called our attention to these two flags. American flag, church flag, Christian church flag. And I asked us the question, if we were told by whatever authority there is out there that we had to take one of them down, that we couldn't fly them both, which one would we fly? Which one would we take down? America is the greatest country, the greatest nation that has ever been seen on the face of the earth. But empires come and go. And Augustine said it wasn't because of the abandonment of the gods of Rome that Rome fell. It's because it deteriorated from within, from pride, from selfishness, from quest for power, for greed. No city will stand if that's its foundation. The city of humanity is not the eternal city. The eternal city is the city of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.